In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and it shall be created. Let us pray. O God, instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant it by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Lady Fatima.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, ask, it will be given to you, seek, and you will find, knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you would hand his son a stone when he asked for a loaf of bread or a snake? When you ask for a fish. You then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus says, ask and you receive. Seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. What should we ask for? We should ask first and foremost for the salvation of our souls. Nothing more important than that. As for the salvation of our souls, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So that should be the first on your list of priorities. Second would be this, Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach me how to pray better. We all know how to pray, but all of us could improve our prayer life. Third, we want to pray for interior peace. Very important that we live with peace in our souls. So if we're living agitated, spiritual life doesn't work when we're agitated. And if you are agitated, you really should do an examination why you are agitated and try to resolve that problem. You can't pray when you're agitated. You can't. There has to be peace. Peace of heart, mind, and soul. So that's our brief biblical reflection. Now we'll have the handouts. And we'll return to the Diary of St. Faustina. Before reading number 65, Mary placed a beautiful quotation from St. Faustina on the importance of love. Love is a mystery that transforms everything it touches into things beautiful and pleasing to God. The love of God makes a soul free. Therefore, the greatest of all virtues, of course, is the virtue of love or charity. Charity, we call that supernatural love. Love for God and love for neighbor. Both have to work together. Okay, I'd like to start to read 65 and enter into our commentary. One time during the novitiate, when Mother Directus sent me to work in the ward's kitchen, I was very upset because I could not manage the pots, which were very large. The most difficult task for me was draining the potatoes, and sometimes I spilled half of them with the water. When I told this to Mother Directress, she said that with time I would get used to it and gain the necessary skill. The task was not getting any easier as I was growing weaker every day. So I would move away when it was time to drain the potatoes. The sisters noticed that I avoid this task and were very much surprised. They did not know that I could not help in spite of all my willingness to do this and not spare myself. At noon, during the examination of conscience, I complained to God about my weakness. And he heard the following words in my soul. From today on, you will do this easily. I shall strengthen you. I'd like to pause and make a commentary on this. Okay, God has to be our strength. God has to be our strength. We can't make it by ourselves. We can't. Neither physically, nor emotionally, or morally, or spiritually, we can't make it by ourselves. God has to be our strength. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Can you finish that?
Amen.
For our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. God is our rock. He's our fortress. He's our strength. He is. We have to rely on God. The more we rely upon ourselves, the more we're going to fall flat on our face. If we rely on God, then we're weak, but God does the work for us. You'll understand this if you believe what I'm saying. You'll notice this played out in your life as you get older. I have situations in my life where I just didn't feel that good. And I looked at the task and I said, I can't do it. But then I prayed fervently, trusted God, and then God did it. At the end of the day, thinking, how on earth was that done? And the Lord said to me, no, basically, you trusted in me and I did the work. Has that ever happened to you? You gotta trust. I look at days, at least in my schedule, humanly speaking, I can't do it. It's kind of daunting, no? But then I come back to this concept in which God is sometimes asking us to do what is humanly impossible. We're talking about, you know, straining potatoes. How on earth could a man that could barely pass his tests sit in a confessional for 15 hours eating one potato? Come on. It's called the Curie of Arts. You've heard of him, right?
Yes.
Humanly speaking, eating one potato, sleeping 3 hours, and being attacked by the devil, I mean, come on. That's impossible. But he had one thing that we're aiming at, but we don't have it yet. He had a total trust in God. We don't have it yet, but we're heading in that direction. We haven't arrived. And it's really beautiful. If you understand this and you start to put it into practice, it's almost comical at the end of the day. I couldn't do that, but the Lord removed the obstacles. He gave me a certain energy that I didn't have. But it's a matter of trust. God is never going to ask you to do something that He's not going to supply the grace to carry out. Remember that Pastor St. Paul, he was asking the Lord to remove that thorn from him? And he asked him 3 times. And what did God say to Paul? Remember? What's that?
My grace is sufficient.
My grace is sufficient. St. Paul went on to be one of the greatest saints in the Catholic Church. Paul probably felt he'd had that thorn. You know, what it was, we don't know. We don't know what it was, but it was something that really almost tormented him. And he said, Lord, come to take it away. Uh-uh. Because grace is perfected in weakness. I'm going to throw something out, then let me give you some examples of this. In almost all parishes, big parishes and small parishes, you've got viejas abuelitas. Translation? Oh, old grandmas. And they've got all of the sicknesses you can imagine. Remember once I was bringing communion to a woman who was about 90 years old. She said, Father, I'd like to donate something, but the only thing that is healthy is just one of my fingernails. No? And you know, she was really being honest because she said, Father, no matter what you ask in my body, there's something wrong with it, but I've got one of the fingernails on my left hand that's still pretty good shape, no? But it was about the most joyful woman I ever met. I brought her communion every week for about a year, and then she died about 9. But I mean, she was just so... This was maybe back... I was here maybe a year, and a lady lived in Cerritos. I don't even remember. She was a Hispanic, abuelita, no? But every time I visited her, I left her house filled with joy because she was so joyful, no? But she longed to receive the Eucharist. Now we look in the world, those who have, you know, the five B's, remember the five B's? What a typical American girl wants to see in a man that she wants to marry, no? That brains, brawn, beauty, and big bucks. Call it the five B's, no? Brains. Brawn, you who don't, maybe English is your second language. Brawn, what it means in Spanish, is fortaleza, it's strength, brawn, no? Muscles, no? Brains, brawn, beauty, and big bucks. Now those abuelitas with all those sicknesses offering it up for priests in the parish, those are the ones that are raining down graces upon the parishes. Amen? Do you believe it?
Yes.
And there's, and in every parish you're going to have, maybe not too many, but one of them is enough to rain just a torrential downpour of graces upon the parish. It all depends upon that woman having a deep spiritual life and recognizing that she's on the cross with Jesus, and her offering, her oblation, is the means by which many of us who are, so to speak, apostolically active are touching souls. That's the way God works. So we see in this number 65, we see Saint Faustina. She's weak, and she doesn't enter into the convent, you know, Hercules or Rambo. She enters a weak person, but God's going to take her weakness and her confidence to become one of the greatest modern saints, and I believe one day she'll be declared Doctor of Mercy. Hear my words. I'm making a prophecy now. Doctor of Mercy. So let me give you some examples. I wrote down when I was preparing this talk. It just came to me. How God chooses the little ones to carry out extraordinary miracles. If you want another biblical verse, he's looked upon the lowliness of his handmaid. Who said that? Mary. That's a Magnificat. But he's Luke chapter 1, right? He looked upon the lowliness or humility of her servant. Marys were part of that Anawim group, right? One of the poor of Yahweh. Let me give you a few examples. First, all of you know this. You've done the exercises, you've done this, at least indirectly. David and Goliath. Who was physically stronger? Who was well armed? Who had the big crescent sword? Who had the shield? Who had the shield bearer? Who had the experience? Who had the height? Who breathed threats of murder? Who won? Why? Read the passage. He says, you go against me in the name of your gods. I go against you in the name of Yahweh, the Lord of heaven and earth. And how did he win? By something very small. Was it a tank or a cannon? It was a little slingshot. Have you used a slingshot? Teresa, Tony, have you, you know what a slingshot is? I used to when I was a kid. Like when I was brought up and raised, all kids knew how to use a slingshot, no? You know, don't put rocks in there, put something softer in him. But he put a little stone. It doesn't say a boulder. He puts in his pocket a few stones, puts it in, aims, and he stretches it out, and zoom! I used to play charades when I was a kid. That was part of our diversion when we were in high school, no? David, no way he could have won. They're like a snowball in hell. No way. But he won. Why? Because he trusted in God. He wasn't nervous. I mean, God's going to help me. And you, as you get older, young people, when you get older, you're going to notice that if you trust in God, God opens up the doors of what seems to be impossible. Ask for what goes beyond human strength, and God will give it to you. Because He'll give you supernatural strength that transcends the natural. But we've got to trust. Got to trust. So David and Goliath is a great example of this point. Faustina, I mean, she couldn't pick up these potatoes. We're going to see that after we're going to finish it by the year 2020, she's going to be able to pick up those potatoes. But after she places her trust in God. Can I give you one of my favorites outside the Bible? And it's my mom's patron saint. Any of you go to Philadelphia? Any of you ever hear of Philadelphia? It's not in the state of Missouri. It's in the state of Pennsylvania, okay? Harrisburg is the capital, but Philadelphia is the biggest city in Pittsburgh, okay? You know, in the center of the city of Philadelphia, there's a beautiful gold statue with a young woman and a horse. And who's that? Saint Jean d'Arc. Parlez-vous français? Saint Jean d'Arc. You have to say it with a nasal, right? Saint Joan of Arc. In the middle of Philadelphia, where the Pope was, what, a couple of years ago? You who are a voracious reader, you probably read The Life of Joan of Arc written by one of your favorite writers, Mark Twain. Now don't tell me you've never heard of Mark Twain. He's one of the top five writers in the American literature, right? But most of you don't know that Mark Twain, he was not a Catholic. Wasn't even a Christian. But he loved Joan of Arc. Pure woman that walked the face of the earth, basically he was saying. Just an incredible woman, Joan of Arc. What did she do? There's a famous battle between the English and the French. The English were much stronger. But God raised up this, the Maid of Orleans, raised up this teenager. She was a teenager. Couldn't even read and write. But she heard voices. This is not schizophrenia either. She heard voices, okay? Voices of St. Catherine of Alexandria. And she heard the voices of the angels. That was my homily today, right, Grace? And the voices were telling her to prepare the French army to fight against the English, and they would win the battle. St. Joan of Arc had no military experience. St. Joan of Arc had no formal education. St. Joan of Arc was a woman. This is back 800 years ago, more than that, when women would never be involved in battle. This was a male profession. I'm just going to tell you, the first thing she did is very indicative of why they won the battle. Read it in Mark Twain's masterpiece. Of everything he's written, Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn, all these literary classics, his greatest was Joan of Arc. The others he just wrote. Joan of Arc he wrote, then he revised it, then he wrote another time. He tried to perfect this. And if you read it, you can see it's a literary masterpiece. What was one of the first things he did when she had the French army under her command? She said, "Get the prostitutes out of here. Get the prostitutes," because the prostitutes were there with the soldiers. "Get them out." And the second thing was, "All of you men got to go to confession. And we'll walk with the banner of Jesus and Mary." And guess who won the battle? Was it the English or the French? The battle was not so much the battle of Joan of Arc. The battle was the Lord's. I can give you tons of examples. Do you remember Gideon? The battle of Gideon. What does God say to Gideon? "You got too many. Got too many." And he lowered the number and lowered the number and lowered the number and lowered the number. It's just a matter of a few hundred against thousands. Who won, Gideon or his enemies? Hello?
Gideon.
Why? Because he trusted in who? Hello? Trusted in God. And I'd like to compare that to what's going on in the church today. Pope Benedict, as well as Pope John Paul II, has said this: church is diminishing in numbers. May not see it so much in LA, but in many places it's diminishing, where they're closing down churches. They're clustering. You know what clustering is? They're doing that in the East Coast. Clustering means you got three parishes and you got, or five parishes and you got two pastors of those. They're clustering in which they're administering to those five parishes one priest. Remember, I was talking with my mom, and she's saying, you know, in EW10, they said that there was one priest in Holland that had 13 parishes, and they gave him three more. So 16 parishes for one pastor. This is Europe. So what Pope Benedict was predicting, and John Paul, is that less Catholics. Catholics that have to become saints. Amen? Less Catholics. Thin out the ranks. Thin out the ranks. Better a few Catholics that are on fire than a big multitude of Catholics that are mediocre, they're tepid, they're lukewarm. Amen? Better a few. Thin out the ranks like Gideon. Thin out the ranks. But a few fiery, fervent, faith-filled followers of Christ. God is much more pleased with one Catholic that's on fire than thousands and thousands that are mediocre, half-baked. Colby would say in his writings, we cannot dilute the gospel. We have to live the gospel the way Jesus wants us to live it. Amen? So Joan of Arc. By the way, do any of you know how Joan of Arc died? She was burnt. And when she was being burnt, they were unanimous in saying, we are burning a saint. They knew that they were burning, not a witch. They said, this is a witch, okay? No, this is a saint. One more point I'd like to highlight in this great saint, or trying to highlight how God, taking this from Faustine, how God can take the little, the weak, the vulnerable, the sick, the infirm, and work miracles through them. I think I mentioned this maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, but I'll refresh your rusty and dusty memory, if I can use that expression. She's being tried. We asked her, are you in the state of grace? There's grace, huh? Are you in the state of grace? Now, she's not a theologian. Are you in the state of grace? And she's being tested by theologians now to trip her up. She said, if I am, thanks be to God. If I'm not, may God place me there. The greatest theologian in the world could not have responded better than that. Now, are you in the state of grace? You have to say the same thing. Because the Council of Trent says none of us have a moral certitude, because we can lie to ourselves. You know, we commit a mortal sin. Well, you know, really, it wasn't a mortal sin. Maybe you're lying to yourself. It's happened before. Maybe we don't have a well-formed conscience and we're not working at forming our conscience as well. That's happening all over the place. But if you come up and receive communion, you're stating publicly that you believe that you're in the state of grace. If you receive communion, some of you are daily communicants. So am I. But there's no moral certitude. So Joan of Arc is another example to illustrate the point. How about this one? What would be the most famous Marian approved apparition in the past 100 years? Lourdes is 150 years ago, 1858. Hello? Fatima is among the Marian apparitions. Lourdes was 1858. Guadalupe was 1531. Fatima was 1917. We're celebrating the 100th anniversary. Did God choose powerful individuals to communicate this message? Those who are doctorates, no? Multi-millionaires, huh? Those who lived in palaces and mansions, huh? So three little children, illiterate, watched over sheep, like to play games, like to cut corners. Did you pray the rosary? Yes. Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, glory be. They cut corners. I mean, they weren't perfect. Chose them to carry out one of the most important and powerful messages in the modern church. They were small. They were vulnerable. But they trusted Mary. They trusted the Lady Fatima. So rewind the film of your life. Rewind the film of your life. And ask the Holy Spirit in prayer. When did you really experience your weakness most? Pray over that. When did you experience your weakness most? Maybe you said to God, God, I can't get through this. Ever happened? I really don't think I can get through this. Or maybe say, Lord, I've got the cross, but this cross is too heavy. Now, it seemed to be too much. Okay, how many of you here are still alive? Is it a phantom, or are you really alive? Is that just a hallucination, okay? That's a figment of your imagination, right? You're still living. You might even pinch yourself to make sure that it's right, okay? Yeah, okay. So you have some time or moment in your mind where it seemed to be, it was just too much. And then multiply that by 100 times. Ooh, no. Now, is that a big problem for God? And there's no such thing as a big problem for God. God can resolve the biggest problems in the world. I can use the word insurmountable. Insurmountable. Insuperable in Spanish, okay? Insurmountable. And God can resolve it. that it seems as if the Israelites were going to be caught and destroyed by the Egyptians. What did God do through Moses? Lifts up his hand, and what happens? What happened to the Red Sea? Were the Israelites killed by them? No, the Egyptians were killed, right? How did it happen? The waves subsided, and they were destroyed. Now, we'll go back to Gideon. Some of you know the Bible pretty well. How was it that Gideon's enemies were killed? They turned their swords against each other and ended by killing themselves. That's how God did it. Read it. Because humanly speaking, 300 against thousands and thousands, they couldn't do it. So what happened was, within the rank of the enemies of Gideon, they turned against each other and killed each other by the sword, and they were all dead. I mean, that's the way God... Maybe you wouldn't have done it that way, but that God decided this is the way we'll end up with, we'll kill these enemies. Other times God sends these huge hailstones from the sky, about the size of a watermelon, falls on the head. They're not going to make it, are they? So God wants us to trust. God wants us to trust. Okay, take Lourdes. Saint Bernadette. Some of you have seen the film of Saint Bernadette. Some have maybe seen The Passion of Saint Bernadette, which came out about 10 years ago. I recommend that you see it. None of you have seen The Passion of Saint Bernadette? Only Mary. Passion of Saint Bernadette is Saint Bernadette once she enters into the convent in Nevers until she dies. Great movie. But she's attacked right and left. She gets so sick that she almost dies, and when she comes back, one of the nuns said, "Oh, I were hoping that you would be dead." Remember that scene, Mary? They try to trip her up, they try to trick her, and one of her greatest sufferings was that she had an ulcer beneath her knee for many years, which caused her incredible pain, and nobody knew about it. Are all of you excellent in suffering and silent? You'd all win awards for that, probably, right? When you suffer, you know, you never tell anyone in the world about that suffering. No one knows about it. Huh? How about that? Having an ulcer, a very painful ulcer underneath your knee, and having that for 10 years, and nobody knows it until she finally dies. For me, that's one of the greatest evidences of that she was a saint. The other things, the fact that Our Lady appeared to her is almost secondary. Just, she was a nobody. Some of you saw the song of Bernadette. Yes. The scene that touched me most, now this, talk about the third degree of humility, she couldn't pass her catechism tests. Couldn't pass it. I mean, St. Bernadette was not Thomas Aquinas, nor Augustine, nor your friend St. John Chrysostom. I mean, she was not. So the priest comes in, the Monsignor comes in, and he's giving all of the children a holy card. Remember that scene? Gives it to Bernadette, and what does the nun do? You say takes away, I would say grabs it forcefully, almost rips it out of her hand, and says to the priest, "No, no, 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 she's not going to make her first communion. She did not learn her catechism." What would happen to that? How would you react to that? Oh, thank you. I heard Father Broom speak about the third degree of humility. Yeah. I doubt it. And one of the greatest things in St. Bernadette, even though that happened, she never was resentful against anyone. What would happen if someone did that to you today or tomorrow? You'd probably have a resentment that would probably take a couple months to overcome. No resentment. Humility. Holiness. God chooses the little ones. God chooses the little ones to confound the proud. Saint Bernadette. One other modern example. Who is the most famous missionary, woman missionary? Male missionary would be John Paul II. Who would be the most famous missionary in the past 100 years? Okay, Teresa of Lisieux would maybe be the second. Would you say Mother Teresa is important?
Yes.
That's a good point. St. Teresa of Lisieux was in the convent there praying for missionaries. Can't forget that. But the one that comes to our eyes, to our attention most, is St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Was she a big woman?
No.
Small. A hunchback at the end of her life. Could barely breathe. Not very attractive physically. And going through what is called a dark night of the soul for 40 years. Some of you saw the movie, The Letters, right? And here we have the woman that God chose to have the biggest explosion of female vocations since the time of St. Francis of Assisi. A woman who, at the end, the last 40 years of her life, God, where are you? God, where are you? I don't experience your presence at all. That happens to you for 2 weeks. I'm going to give up my holy hour. Many people do. After the exercises, I'm meditating, nothing seems to happen. I'm just go back to my normal way of life. You know, just be normal. Don't be a fanatic. You know, be normal, relax, kick back, let your hair down. Just be a normal person. Got to go against, you got to swim against the current, no? Okay, so let's finish reading this number. That evening, when the time came to drain off the water from the potatoes, I hurried to be the first to do it. Now, the next 5 words are the most important words in my talk this evening. Next 5 words summarizes this talk. What are they? What are they? Do you?
Yes.
Oh, you do? Okay. You all said it very spontaneously, no? Therese, mas o menos, huh? Well, we should pray that we'll trust more each day, right? Lord, I believe, but strengthen my lack of belief. What's interesting is, did she go to the potatoes dragging her feet, is what it says? How did she go? So she rushed to, like David rushed to the, remember David rushed to the battle line with his slingshot? Actually, it goes quickly to it. He took up the pot with ease. There's always a way to have it with ease. And I think you know why, because before the pot was pure metal, now it was aluminum, right? It was a new pot, right? It was the same pot, not aluminum. Same heavy metal pot. With ease, and poured off the water perfectly. Not imperfectly, but perfectly. But when they took off the cover to let the potato steam off, I saw there in the pot, in the place of potatoes, a bag of money. Mary got a wrong translation, okay. Whole bunches of red roses. Beautiful, beyond description. I'd never seen such roses before. Greatly astonished and unable to understand the meaning of this, I heard a voice within me saying, I change such hard work of yours into bouquets of most beautiful flowers, and their perfume rises up to my throne. Does that say anything to you? God is saying to all of us is that we have to always try to do the best we possibly can and leave the rest to God. Do the best we possibly can and leave the rest to God. And not always to expect to see results. And this is hard. This is hard. Men are project oriented. I come from a family of successful businessmen, you know. Oh, it is, you know. You got a goal. These are the steps. After you've carried out the goal, you've done it successfully, move on to the next. That's why I was brought up and raised. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that's not always the way God works. Now prove it. How did Jesus save the world? By dying on the cross. Wasn't that considered to be a huge, a dismal failure in the time of Jesus? Someone dying on the cross? Accursed be he who hangs on the cross, right? That we consider to be a curse. But Jesus decided that's the way that he would save the world. And here's a good phrase for you. Paul said, I planted, Apollo watered, but it's the Holy Spirit that gives the growth. So we have to plant, we have to water, but leave the success to God. The day before I was ordained a priest, my confessor was in St. Mary Major, where you had, maybe you went there on your trip, where you have the Dominicans. So I had an English priest there as a deacon, 32 years. Father Horn was his name. Spoke with an English accent. Said, Father, I'm going to be ordained by John Paul II tomorrow. You know what he said to me? Almost as if I hear it ringing in my ears from yesterday. Almost 32 years have passed. 31, anyway. When all is said and done, you're going to be a priest. being popular and famous and receiving a lot of accolades from people, that doesn't matter. So what matters is this, is that you're faithful. Never forgot that. And I can say that to you people. Whether or not you're going to be successful or famous or make it to Hollywood, you're going to be one of the stars in the Hollywood Walk one day. You know, it's really not important. What's important is that you be faithful. What does Mother Teresa teach us? Remember the phrase? God does not call us to be successful, but to be faithful. Mother Teresa. Success comes and goes. But God's word remains forever. Amen? From then on, I've tried to drain the potatoes myself, not only during my week, when it was my turn to cook, but also in replacement of other sisters when it was not their turn. And not only do I do this, but I try to be the first to help in any other burdensome task, because I've experienced how much this pleases God. Don't you love the diary? There's so many beautiful lessons. So if there's some work to do, should we rush to the easiest task? Or try to undertake the most difficult task? Because that's very pleasing to God. So the message is very clear today. We're all little people. We're all little people. We have very little to offer. But God takes little people with little things, but with great hearts, to accomplish extraordinary miracles. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'd like to ask one special prayer intention. Tomorrow, many little children are going to be making their first communion. Pray for them. St. John Bosco says this. He says, many people end up in a bad life because they do not make a good first Holy Communion. It's always made me come a tremble with a little bit of fear. This is the great one of the greatest teachers in the world. His name is St. John Bosco, founder of the Salesians, who worked with children. Pray that the children that receive communion have a great love for Jesus and they don't worry about the social part that much. But tomorrow that they have a really great love and fervor to receive Jesus Christ. Fervently until they get to heaven. Another passage of the diary, Jesus says to St. Faustina, every communion unites us with eternal life. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The Lord be with you. Amen. Through the intercession of Our Lady of Fatima, St. Joseph, St. Faustina, may God bless you with peace, joy, long life, and eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless all of you. Amen.